You're listening to another Vantage Point program today with George and Rita Gully.
Becoming a Christian is not just making a decision to follow Jesus and leaving it at that.
When the Bible says we must be born again, it's a lot like growing as a child into adulthood. The Bible says that when we become a Christian, we are a child of God. We're part of God's family. And He wants to see a family resemblance in us. In other words, how much of our life looks like we belong to God. We all need to grow spiritually.
Leroy Imes tells this story. One spring, our family was driving from Fort Lauderdale to Tampa, Florida. As far as the eye could see, orange trees were loaded with fruit. When we stopped for breakfast, I ordered an orange drink with my eggs. "I'm sorry," the waitress said, "I can't bring you orange juice. Our machine is broken." At first, I was dumbfounded. We were surrounded by millions of oranges, and I knew they had oranges in the kitchen. Orange slices garnished our plates. What was the problem? No juice? Hardly. We were surrounded by thousands of gallons of juice. The problem was they had become dependent on a machine to get at it. Christians are sometimes like that. They may be surrounded by Bibles in their homes, but if something should happen to the Sunday morning preaching service, they would have no nourishment for their souls. The problem is not a lack of spiritual food, but that many Christians haven't grown enough to know how to get at it for themselves.
Someone once said, "The Christian walk is much like riding a bicycle. We are either moving forward or falling off." And another said, "I don't think God is interested in our success. He is interested in our maturity."
Misty Maury told this story about a man who'd just been to the plant nursery. And I quote, "A man once bought a home with a tree in the backyard. It was winter, and nothing marked this tree as different from any other tree. When spring came, the tree grew leaves and tiny pink buds. How wonderful, thought the man, a flower tree. I will enjoy its beauty all summer." But before he had time to enjoy the flowers, the wind began to blow, and soon all the petals were strewn in the yard. "What a mess," he thought. "This tree isn't any use after all." The summer passed, and one day the man noticed the tree was full of green fruit the size of large nuts. He picked a large one and took a bite. "Yeah," he cried and threw it on the ground. "What a horrible taste. This tree is worthless. Its flowers are so fragile, the wind blows them away and its fruit is terrible and bitter. When winter comes, I'm cutting it down." But the tree took no notice of the man and continued to draw water from the ground and warmth from the sun, and in late fall produced crisp red apples.
Some of us see Christians with their early blossoms of happiness and think that they should be that way forever. Or we see bitterness in their lives and we're sure they will never bear the better fruit of joy. Could it be that we forget some of the best fruit ripens late? As Leighton Ford once said, "God loves us the way we are, but He loves us too much to leave us that way."
Elizabeth Elliot wisely said, "It appears that God has deliberately left us in a quandary about many things. Why did He not summarize all the rules in one book and all the basic doctrines in another? He could have eliminated the loopholes, prevented all the schisms over morality and false teaching that have plagued His church for 2,000 years. Think of the squabbling and perplexity we would have been spared. And think of the crop of dwarfs He would have reared. He did not spare us. He wants us to reach maturity. He has so arranged things that if we are to go on beyond the milk diet, we shall be forced to think."
In the book of James in the Bible, it says this, "Keep on obeying the message, do not merely listen to it." And this verse, "Show me your faith without any good deeds, and I will show you mine by my good deeds." In other words, don't just say it, do it as well. Carlo Coretto in Letters from the Desert said, "God gives us the boat and the oars, but then tells us it's up to you to row."
If you would like to write to us, simply address your letter to George Gully, Box 101, Moorbank, New South Wales, 2170.